as we begin our service tonight, we ask that there would be a reverence, an awe, a quietness. We pray, Lord, that there would be just that heart filled with appreciation, understanding the clarity of what this day in history meant for all of our lives, what it took and the sacrifice that you made, and how not for just one day, but for each day of your existence, you were fully aware of what your calling was and what you were sent to do, and what you determined ahead of time in your own heart to do. And so, Lord, we ask that you'd slow us down today, just for a little while, to think, to meditate, to be quiet, to be still before the cross, to recognize that this work that you have done for us brings us that gift of salvation and life and hope. Come and bring a blessing over us tonight, Lord. Bring the blessing of truth into our hearts. Bring that blessing of understanding. Bring that blessing of wholeness and forgiveness. Bring the blessing, Lord, of reverent awe as we understand your gift of yourself to us this evening. Tonight, Lord, we begin this time of meditation, of considering, of reflection, of just letting the truth of your word, of your sacrifice, permeate our lives and our minds and our spirits. Set us free tonight, Lord. Set us free to worship. Set us free to celebrate. Set us free to stand quietly and recognize who you are and what you have done for us. We begin this time, Lord, of meditation in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God's people say, amen. We join together in the opening song.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you, I owe all to you, Jesus. There's a place where sin and shame are powerless, where my heart has peace with God and forgiveness, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you, I owe all to you. Here my hope is found, here on holy ground, here I bow down, here I bow down, here arms open wide, here you say, saved my life. Here I bow down, here I bow, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, I'm in awe of you, where your love ran red and my sin washed white. I owe all to you, 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 Jesus.
Turn my eyes to the cross, to the blood shed for me, to the nails, to the loss, to the love that I see, freely given, freely poured out, love incarnate on the tree. Turn my heart to the one who gave all he could give when he offered his son, given so I might live. Loving Father, precious Savior, love incarnate on the tree. When I look in the eyes of forgiveness and mercy, and I see greater love than I thought I'd ever see, and I'm touched by the hand that has made me, redeemed me, I will thank you, awesome Savior, for love incarnate on the tree. Turn my life into praise, turn my dying to living, breath of life let me raise up a song of thanksgiving. Living Spirit, loving Father, love incarnate on the tree. When I look in the eyes of forgiveness and mercy, and I see greater love than I thought I'd ever see, and I'm touched by the hand that has made me, redeemed me, I will thank you, awesome Savior, for love incarnate on the tree. I will thank you, awesome Savior, for love incarnate on the tree. Of sorrows, Lamb of God, by his own betrayed, the sin of man and wrath of God has been on Jesus laid. Silent as he stood accused, beaten, mocked, and scorned, bowing to the Father's will, he took the crown of thorns. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto thee. Stand of heaven, God's own Son, to purchase and redeem and reconcile the very ones who nailed him to that tree. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto thee. Now my debt is paid, it is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. Whom the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. Now my debt is paid, it is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. When the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto thee.
If you have your Bibles, we're going to be reading in the book of Luke tonight. So if you would turn there, Luke 23. Phones, iPads, computers, watches, whatever you're going to read it on. This is Luke 23, starting at verse 26. This section contains both the first and the last words that Jesus speaks on the cross, and we're going to try and put a few things together tonight. As they led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women, who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, and the wombs that have never bore, and the breasts that have never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." They divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God and the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was written notice above him, which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what we deserve. But this man has done nothing." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining and a curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, Surely this was a righteous man. When all the people who had gathered to witness this saw what had taken place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how the body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. It is fascinating when you consider the intensity of the cross and the events of the day to understand the power of what's happening. The beautiful words that Jesus speaks from the cross as Father, forgive them, an attitude that is focused on others rather than himself. This is why Jesus came. This is the culmination of his ministry. This is literally the whole process by which Jesus functioned. There's a story, an account in Scripture. It comes out of John chapter 4. And it's a fascinating little thing where Jesus is ministering to a woman at the well. She had been with five different men. She was in an adulterous affair situation with the man she was with now. And Jesus said, bring your husband. And she said, I have no husband. And he said, you have spoken the truth. You've had five husbands. And he said, and the one you have now doesn't even belong to me. And he ministers the gospel to this woman that by our standards was a wretch. By our standards, we would call her many different names. She would be degraded in many different ways. She wasn't welcomed by the women of the town. She was alone, and she was what she was. And Jesus meets her, and he makes a difference in her life. But the part I want you to listen to is this part that sometimes we miss a little bit, and it's important to understand this if we can. Got to find my verse again, I'm sorry. Jesus, lost it. John 4. All right, I lost my verse. Oh, here we go. I'm in John 4, and she leaves her jar, it says, and she goes back to the town. I'm in 4:28 if you want to follow. If you don't, I'm just going to read you a couple quick verses. Come see the man who told me everything I did. Could this be the Christ? And they came out from the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. To do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. This is early in Jesus' ministry. He is proclaiming to the disciples something absolutely vital. He is communicating, I know why I'm here. I think I shared with you once that Mark Twain said the two best days in your life are the day you were born and the day you figure out why. What's your purpose? Why did you come? Are you just taking up space? Were you just supposed to accomplish what you've accomplished? And yet in this moment, Jesus looks at him and he says, I am so different and living at such a different level. Not in arrogance, but living at such a different level. He looks at them and he says, my food is to do the will of the Father. And then I want to take you back into a section in Isaiah. So we put this together. And it's Isaiah of 61 that Jesus eventually reads from just a little later. And this is the will of the Father for Jesus. And I want you to listen to it. It's Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of spirit of despair. The mission. Jesus knew it. He was fulfilling it. He understood the call. He understood it so well that when he was involved in it, the things of earth disappeared. The value of whether or not he even had this next meal was of diminishing value because he understood the significance of what had just happened for this single individual, this woman that you could use all kinds of adjectives for in terms of her lifestyle and everything else, poor, brokenhearted, captive, prisoner, he had set her free. And he had given her living water in that moment. And the miracle was, in doing the very thing that God had called him to do, he was fulfilling what God had asked him to do. And that was the miracle of that particular moment. Then I want you to understand this little phrasing that Jesus asks here in Matthew 16. And this is, again, just a short little phrase. I'm going to tie them all together with you and carefully connect them to the cross. It comes in Matthew 16, starting at verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? The power of understanding that calling, the power of knowing who you are, the power of the name that is in Jesus, the name that you have that rests on you, that power all comes together in that question. Who do you say that I am? You see, on the cross, Jesus very carefully goes through what we sometimes call the seven last words. And there on the cross, he is continuing his ministry from Isaiah 61, and he carries it on as he reaches out to this woman, and he carries it on as he ministers to his disciples, and he carries it on through the word that I've just asked you, who do you say that I am? And the critical part is that you need to understand that from the cross on Good Friday, the message is not just focused on Christ, the message is asking you the question, who do you say I am? And that isn't just simply asking you for a nice pat answer, you're Jesus. The real question is, who do you say I am? Don't use words. Don't tell me. Show me. If I am the most important thing in your life, I don't want to hear it from your lips. I want to see it from your heart. I want to feel it when I get near you. I want people to taste it and feel it in the air around you of what it is that matters to you. Because inevitably, if you've got some other love, some other interest, whether it be golf or tennis, whether it be football, whether it be something you do or something you watch other people do, whatever it is, there is this sense around you, and it doesn't take you long that pretty soon it starts emanating from everything you are and it pours out of you. Even if the very thing that pours out of you is bitterness and harshness and insensitivity and anger and cruelty and unfairness, whether it's negative or positive, it doesn't take long for people to feel it coming out of you. And the challenge that I want to pose to you today as you look upon your Savior upon the cross is not just asking, who do you say I am? I want you to push it until you understand, who do I live like you are? How do I live out what I say and who I say you are? Jesus is demonstrating his mission in his last 3 hours of life, in the very breath that he emanates, in the seven last words. He turns and he says that from first thing, he looks at the people that have just nailed him to the cross, and there he is bringing grace over this multitude of all kinds of moods and attitudes, from the bitterness of the Pharisees to the mockingness of the guards to whatever else is going on in the mind of every person. He speaks this out to them. Father, forgive them. They have no idea what they're doing. The second word from the cross that is ministered to the thief. He is bringing to the brokenhearted, to the helpless, to the wounded, to the stupid, the foolish, the ignorant, the stubborn, whatever he was that got him into the situation in this last moment of his life. Here is Jesus Christ bringing his purpose right into the middle as he speaks out to this man. Why? Because this man could feel it emanating from this man on the cross next to him. Jesus wasn't just dying. He was living for this moment. He was creating this sense around him. He heard him speak the words, Father, forgive them. He must have felt an awesomeness and an understanding that the Holy Spirit was able to use to impact on his life. And he turns and he says, remember me when you go into the kingdom. And Jesus sets a prisoner free. Even as he dies in a physical way, he is set free eternally, spiritually. Today you'll be with me in paradise. And he completes the second word of the cross. Then in that most personal or intimate or immediate sense, the third word, where he looks at his mother and he looks at John and he speaks this word to the two of them, behold your mother, behold your son. We have a tenderness, a reverence, a quietness of Jesus' specialness for his mother at that point. Today I got to go see my mom. We shared communion together. And I shared it with Mark and Nadine, who were able to be there. And the four of us had that moment of communion with mom. And the beauty was, she was laughing. Not laughing in mockery, but with just joy. She would break out laughing. We were smiling, we were giggling, we were understanding the work of Jesus. And the tenderness of that and the understanding of that. And then we called my other sister on the phone and we put her on speaker, and so the whole family was together. And you go, here's Jesus just smiling from the cross, suffering in the middle of his pain. John, here's your mom. Mom, here's John. He'll take care of you. That tenderness that he demonstrates, the mission that he has there in his heart. Then we switch back to probably the most powerful or painful of all the words from the cross, where it says in Scripture that he was made sin for us. Every one of my sins has been paid in full upon the cross. And this word that Jesus speaks, this is the word that would have come out of my mouth, that would have been in my heart, that I would have cried for all eternity if he did not speak it for me, if he did not take this moment from me, if he did not invest himself in his mission, if he did not understand his calling, if he had missed it somewhere along the way. This would have been my cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because I would have had no way of entering the kingdom of God apart from this work that Jesus completed. And the beauty of this particular statement, tied together with the words that are going to come in just a moment, are the reality where he speaks about it, it is finished. I want to wait and then tie those two together with you. So just hang on there, because the little phrase, I thirst, is dropped into the middle of it. The reality of Jesus' mission and the pain and the suffering and the parchedness of his throat enters into it, and we get just a small touch of a window so that he can finish speaking even, so that he can breathe, so that we understand the rest of the message. And then he ties it into this sixth word from the cross, it is finished. You ever start a job and not finish it? You ever start all kinds of things and they didn't quite finish the way you thought they would turn out? God says, it is paid in full. It has been completed. There is nothing left to pay for. I've took every one of Bruce Harmon's sins and I have paid for them in full. I've taken every one of your sins, and you put your name in there, and you have to let the gospel touch your heart, because it is finished means you are helpless to add anything to what Jesus has accomplished. You can't put something up there and consider it, and I will add the rest, or I will complete the rest. You are the recipient of it is finished. You are the recipient of today you'll be with me in paradise. You are the recipient of Father, forgive them because they don't understand what they do. You are the recipient of a God who has created a fellowship that brings us together and says, take care of one another. You are the recipient because that is the heart of God, unconnected with you in terms of what you've been or what you've done, but totally based on this givingness, this grace that God pours out for you and me on the cross. And his entire mission, everything that he has been called on to do from way back in Isaiah, everything he did for this woman at the well, everything he did for his disciples, and he asked the questions, who do you say that I am? Peter goes, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. You're my Savior. You're my righteousness. You're my joy. You're my truth. Apart from you, I know nothing, Lord. And the last one, last thought we read in Luke there. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I commit my spirit. When God tells me it is finished, when God speaks to my heart, and he reminds me of that, and he asks me to receive the message of the crucifixion, the good thing of Good Friday is that Christ has done it all for me. And it's not because I deserve it, but because that's his heart. Tonight, as you and I think about who do you say that I am, I want you to understand, put your sin there and go, but Lord, I get so angry. It's paid for in full. But Lord, I worry a lot. It's paid for in full. Tetelestai is the Greek word. But Lord, I'm so embarrassed. I'm so fearful. I'm so ashamed. I just don't do what I'm supposed to do. It is paid for in full. You have to start understanding what the cross is meant to mean to the day-to-day breath of your life, to the day-to-day circumstances of your life, to the day-to-day emotions of your life, to the day-to-day self-judgments of your life. God keeps speaking from the cross, paid in full, completed. I have forgiven all of your sins. Today you would be with me in paradise, and it's because of who I am, and this is why I came, and I will set you free because that is the Father's calling of my life, and I have done what was necessary, and I have completed it all, and I have finished it for you and for the rest of the world, and then he sets us free. What makes Good Friday good is in this moment I am set free and Christ pays the rest. The scripture speaks of that descent into hell. And we debate a little bit sometimes of what he did there. But the truth is he tasted what I will never have to taste because he wanted to stand in that place. So like the thief on the cross, like the people who drove the nails through his hands, like the woman at the well, like the disciples who sometimes got it figured out and many times didn't get it figured out, like every one of the individuals that were sometimes close and sometimes far, Jesus said, this is why I came. This is why I came. Tonight, as we think of Jesus' last words, I want you to think of this question and just quietly meditate it on a moment. Who do you say that I am by the way you live your life, by the way you act, by the way you respond, by the way you react? What do people feel, see, sense, and feel when they're, I'm sorry, and know when they're around you? Who do you say that I am with your life? As we get ready to close our service and we get ready to sing our last song, I want you to notice the thoughts that are in this particular thing. Lord Jesus, right from the beginning, right from the beginning, you knew what it was always all about. You look upon us, Lord, and you see the day of our creation, the beginning, that one cell, right through to the last breath and heartbeat we will ever have. And in the middle of that, Lord, you love sinners. You love this world. You came, as it said, to redeem, to restore, to give back, to bring life, to complete what we could never do ourselves, so that we would never have to say, it's not finished for me. I failed to do enough. I ask, Lord Jesus, give me the faith of the thief on the cross. Help me to understand with arms outstretched that I'm one heartbeat away from whatever my eternity is going to be. I'm one breath away from my eternity, Lord. I am one moment away from eternity. Help me to feel what the thief felt. Help me to see the awesome presence of who is in front of me. My Savior on the cross, the one who just emanates mercy and forgiveness and life and hope, even as his beaten and bloody body is dying. So much so that a man wounded by life and compromised and wicked maybe right down to his core is just broken open by the work of the Spirit. Lord, if you could love the woman at the well, you can love me. If you can love the thief on the cross, you can love me. If you can speak forgiveness to the people who nailed your hands to that wood, you can love me. And it's because of that love, Lord, that I live in hope. It's you, Lord, that the word is all about. It's you, Lord, that the church and the message of the church is all about. It is always and only about you, and we need to live that way. We need to have it pour out of every part of our life, our words, our thoughts, and our actions. Pour out upon your people in this place a quiet, reverent awesomeness of what it really means to hear love on that cross for you, paid for in full. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Please rise as we sing the last song.
Nail pierced hands, a wounded side. This is love, this is love. The holy heart was sacrificed. This is love, this is love. I bow down to the Holy One. I bow down to the Lamb. I bow down to the Worthy One. I bow down to the Lamb. The Son of God, He died for us. This is love, this is love. He walked the hill, He bore the cross. This is love, this is love. I bow down to the Holy One. I bow down to the Lamb. I bow down to the Worthy One. I bow down to the Lamb. Nail-pierced hands, a wounded side. This is love, this is love.
As we leave tonight, we're encouraged to leave with both reverence and quietness. Not forced, but just focused. Who do you say that I am? What does your life show? Who do you say that I am? We leave in the peace of Jesus. It is finished. Amen.